You are tuned into Business Sense on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
Of course, there is a long and rich tradition of both oral and institutional knowledge in Africa in medicine, yes, in math, right, solving for X until Elon Musk decided to make X the app and all that, and education in Egypt, for example. The Library of Alexandria was perhaps the best and largest repository of knowledge in the ancient world. In the Middle East, Timbuktu in the Kingdom of Mali was an important center of learning. The University of Sankore especially thrived in the 14th century under the patronage of the Malian king Mansa Musa. You'd know the story of Mansa Musa, eh? One of the most interesting characters in history. The oldest university that still educates students today was founded in the 19th century in Fez, Morocco. Now, using records from Timbuktu as an evidence, scholars have shown that Africa had a rich and complex indigenous tradition of mathematics long before the arrival of the Arabs or later European colonizers. So today, we're talking about what kind of technologies and innovations were born out of Africa, lest we forget that as Africans, we have contributed quite significantly to the cause of history and changing the whole world. Look at me, they're saying us, including myself in that. Hey, Mr. Mukwebo, you disagree with me there when I'm saying us. Hey, good evening.
Good evening, Tapelo. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thanks for asking. And yourself?
I'm splendid. I'm very happy. I'm listening to you breaking down all that I was thinking of saying to you today. So we might as well end the conversation.
I was taking glory there for the innovations. I'm saying us as Africans, putting myself in there and saying, hey, I've done something myself.
That's what I was hoping to shine with. I was like, no, thank you, Tapelo. You're already breaking the ice.
Well, guess what? We can certainly share a little bit more. But thank you so much, man, for coming once again. Really appreciate your time. And how was your day?
Traveling. Ah. Right now, I'm currently, I'm next to this place where the famous Besta.
Hey, yeah, no, that one. Yeah.
So I'm currently this side, and I was traveling the whole day. I'm from Limpopo.
Yeah.
So my day was all about traveling and just a bit of work in the morning. But all in all, it was great. We thank God for what he was doing over the weekend.
Indeed. Thank you. Did you take a long weekend?
It was an unexpected one. Yeah. I had a worship night at church.
Yeah.
The first of its kind in my church.
Ah.
It was an unusual one because usually worship nights would go until 11 o'clock,
yes,
maybe.
Yes.
10, 12 o'clock.
Yeah.
That one was an all night.
Ah, I see.
So it was an amazing, it was very amazing. I spend my heritage recovering.
Ah, fantastic. I'm sure you're looking forward to the rest of the week. But yeah, thank you so much for your time. I promise you won't keep you more than we have to, since you are traveling. And a comment coming through saying, Vele, it's us. So yeah, who came up with these innovations.
It is our thing. They can do whatever research they want. They came from here either way, right?
So that's quite right. So which then leads me to my first question, which is for some reason, Africa is not really seen as a hub of innovation and technology. Is there a specific reason why? Is it the case of we as Africans, Vele, it's us, but we don't think we own this hub of innovation that maybe is coming out of the world? What is the problem? Why don't we see ourselves, and why aren't we seen by the world as a hub of innovation?
I think maybe for this one, it's very important that maybe we go back to the dictionary and define what exactly is technology.
Yeah.
Because I've always been speaking to people about this entire notion of third world countries, second world countries. We've been talking about G7s, G20s, and now some other countries are pulling out of those systems to show that it's just a mindset that it has been instilled, a system that has been instilled in order for us to not be in that kind of sense that we might think we are. Mm. Like you'd say, the hub of innovation. We could be one of the best, you know?
Yeah.
But then the notion around saying something different.
Yeah.
But then again, what I wanted to say is that we need to go back to find out what exactly technology is. Maybe just a quick definition from the dictionary of what technology is. We need to revisit that.
Yeah.
Because that's another best way that we can actually say that, oh, this is the way we should be driving as Africans and how we can establish the so-called innovation hub in Africa. Because you might find that we're following something that is not exactly in line with what we should be doing.
Yeah.
But then to answer your question, there's so much happening in Africa, Tapelo.
Yeah.
More especially when it comes to poverty in many places. I recently was we were having this environmental week here in Pretoria. We went to Senbi, the botanical garden, the Pretoria Botanical Garden.
Yeah.
I took the goggles with me.
Yeah.
Then what the idea was to give the children a sense of what this technology is all about, even though it was not enough time for all of them to experience it. What I noticed is that most of these kids, when I was asking them questions, they have never seen this thing before.
Mm.
Even on mere television, right? That is another thing that can show us that in as far as poverty is concerned, some of these kids are unable to even access what every person this day can be able to access. So imagine if it's just South Africa. What about countries in other places? Like our neighboring country as it is, as it stands, everybody knows the condition of our neighboring country, right?
Yeah.
A lot of poverty there.
Yeah.
And that poverty causes even children in that specific place or people in that specific place to not be able to afford to get to, maybe just to afford themselves an opportunity to be out there, to be exposed, to go to university, to go to colleges where they'll be exposed to more of this technology and more of these things that will spike their brains.
Yeah.
The idea when we did the goggle, I'm just going to make an example with that. I know we've talked about it before, was to come up with a way that young children that are doing science in the villages, that are doing laboratory work, they are able to do their laboratory work virtually, which is something that will be a bit cutting edge and good for them, because they will be able to experience something that they cannot experience at that time because of the lack of infrastructure. So in a way, if they're not being able to see this laboratory that they have been told about in class, if they're not being able to see this model that they have been told about at school, how are they going to have a zeal to be able to pursue that thing that the teacher is talking about every day?
Yeah.
You can be an astronaut.
Yeah.
You can be a technologist. You can be a scientist. You can be an innovator. How will that child, out of the 80 children in that container classroom or mud classroom or tree classroom, have that zeal to want to achieve that thing if they can't be able to get to it? So that is basically what is happening in Africa today. It's not because people don't have, like, you know, the oomph to get to this innovation hub that used to be and all this kind of stuff. Poverty is killing us, right, in many places. And it is counting in so many aspects that the only thing that you'll be thinking about as a child or as a person is getting the next meal.
Yeah.
You know, corruption, outdated systems. Those things affect us as people in the country, in the continent, right? To not be able to get the opportunity to afford ourselves to be part of this innovation or this majestic innovation hub that used to be.
So how do we work around that? Because I don't think poverty is something that we can solve in just a couple of years, for that matter, because it's a it's a systematic problem that we have. So we need more structural, strategic thinking from our government, which is not coming, by the way, right? But we need more structural thinking about how to solve the issue of poverty across the African continent, which you say is the impediment to exposure of children to technology and what technology can do out there. So just there, you know, sitting on that point, how do we work around that type of a challenge so that we can expose children like you are doing to things that technology can do for them and that can simplify life so that what they are seeing in the laboratory, for instance, as an example, they can actually see it live. But how do we work around that? Because I don't want it to just be a thing that says, well, we just need to, I suppose, give in that we can't do that because we are poor. How do we work around our poverty, which, of course, our politicians at a strategic level need to fix?
I think there is an importance of us, maybe let's say myself and you, right? When we get a chance, every chance that we get, we need to go back to where we come from.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And create programs.
Yeah.
Right? It doesn't, for a child to be motivated, it doesn't, you don't have to be there the whole week.
Yeah.
You only have to be there for an hour or two.
Yeah.
And give a serious impact onto that child or onto that person that you are meeting there.
Yeah.
There are so many kids out there that just needs you to see you. Yeah. Just to see you. Then alternatively, they are motivated. There are some of the kids that try to find me on social media from the kids that I was talking to.
Yeah.
They would send messages that, hey, you were saying something about this and this career. How do I get to this, right? For sure, that child probably is using Facebook. What, I don't know. There's way that they are able to use Facebook without data or with less data or whatever. Or maybe they're offline. I don't understand that kind of system. But there's a way that my younger brother sometimes use it when we turn off the Wi-Fi.
Yeah.
So there's a way that they do that. So if the child is doing that, which means that child is chatting to me on a basis of not being able to afford something, right? But then the fact that the child had something that I said during an event, during an MBEs or something that was being done, right? That created an impact for that child to want to move themselves with the resources that they currently have. They're a bit fortunate here in Gauteng that because there's so many initiatives that happen within the schoolings, even back where I come from. When I used to work with the university, we would go to the schools nearby.
Yeah.
What we would do, we just spend maybe 30 minutes to an hour and host an annual event at the university. Those kids, most of them would be coming from some serious poverty, even though they're staying next to the town. You would tell from the way the child is, even when you have conversation with the child, most of them, they are now in university because we gave them the zeal, right?
Yeah.
I think if that is something that we need to do as the greater Africa, as people that have already made it in life, not only summits that should be, you know, held in your sentence and all those other stuff. Sometimes these things should be held in provinces and countries that are suffering. That way, those big people, they can be able to reach out to the young people. Maybe let's say, you see when FIFA is playing, you know, there are kids that carry those badges, you know, that are working with the players.
Yeah.
We do that during those events. You know, things like BRICS. There should have been kids there, like young kids from deep communities coming to be exposed into those places. But if big summits are held in fancy places, young people that are in those poverty based or poverty grounded places or places that do not have enough infrastructure, places that are still suffering, they won't get an opportunity to be exposed. The issue is just exposing. Exposing someone. You can expose them with just to give them knowledge or about something or give them information about something or take them to school, whatever that you can do which can help to break the cycle of poverty. That is, I think that's something that we need to do, because that is what brought many of the innovators back in the days to innovate, and that is what they're still doing today, because we've got great innovators in Africa, which is, I believe, is some of the things that we'll share as time goes on.
I think it's that question, that old issue that we have as Africans of not believing in ourselves. So that's the one bit, and the second bit is that you and I on the ground are people that can make change, you know, our listeners as well. If we expect governments to do the change, they're not going to do it. It's not going to happen, right? So we are the ones who are on the ground, who are supposed to be, you know, the ones leading and doing that. That's why I was referring to the fact that, you know, I like the point you made earlier around around you taking the kids there yourself, because mm-hmm. the ripple effect of it, you might not see it now that you took the kids to see this thing in laboratory live, but the mm-hmm. effects of it somewhere, someday, 30 years from now, someone will say, well, Mr. Justice took me to a laboratory, and that's where my love for analytical chemistry came from. And today I'm an analytical chemist, and because of just that exposure that you're referring to. And so I think there's two things that I'm hearing from you. One, we should be driving it ourselves and not really wait for government, so that at the end of the day, the second part, which is the exposure, then can come into effect. And then that belief that we should have about ourselves as Africans and what we can achieve as Africans. So we are a hub of innovation, you are saying.
That's true.
And that is true. That's what I'm hearing from you.
You and I.
Vele, it is us, like that comment said.
Even Vele. Even M-share of the Bible, eh?
Yeah. Okay. Let's take us back then a little bit, as far as you possibly can. What type of inventions came out of Africa that you can think of that maybe a lot of people might not even know?
You know, before anything else that came here, we were busy.
Yeah.
I mean, Shaka was an innovator.
Yeah, yeah.
He's famous for his innovation, eh?
Yeah.
Which helped with the fighting, the spear.
Yes, yes.
You know, the Khoisan were innovating.
Yeah.
We spoke about what do you call this? Kiko, you know, a while ago.
Yeah.
And the kind of innovation, the bottle that came there, and it changed their styles of innovating.
Yes.
And how they were doing things. They would use a various type of things that they were using there.
Yeah.
You know, and they were making medicines themselves.
Mm.
Which is basically what was happening throughout the African continent.
Mm.
Yeah, but then we can also take a look at things like woos that were used.
Mm.
That's part of innovation that came about with the evolution of people as they were evolving and growing and becoming.
Yeah,
they made woos, right? The pyramids.
Yes.
Still, people would be asking themselves, how did they do that, right? Some people would even say that there were aliens that were involved in these things.
Yeah.
They will go out and say a lot of things, a lot of theories, and a lot of things that they will be saying about those pyramids. But that will be one of the greatest things that has ever come out of Africa, so to say, right? And the university that you were talking about, it couldn't have come about if it wasn't for the innovativeness of people and the contribution towards what people outside got to be able to use, or the contribution towards the greater global community in terms of, as far as technology is concerned, right? Mm. There is a scientist, his name is a bit difficult, who contributed a lot in terms of mathematics, right? He's from the Egyptian side.
Mm.
His kind of mathematics did help a lot when it comes to solving issues that had to do with how medicine is processed and how they are able to process the plants that they could be able to use in order for them to solve the diseases that were there.
Mm.
He also contributed. He was an architect, by the way. He also contributed into coming up with ways, like, you know how diseases come to be, and then these scientists come up with ways at which how they can solve these diseases.
Yeah.
He was one of the early people that found out that a disease as it is, when people get sick, there is a period at which this person is alternatively being exposed to whatever that they're being exposed to.
Yeah.
And there's something that needs to be done during that process, not after.
Mm.
Or maybe immediately when that person gets infected with something, they can be able to do to come up with ways to help that person in order for them to not be sick. What do you call this?
Yeah.
Something is catching my eye. Let me just face the other way.
Okay, sorry about that.
Yes, to solve those kind of problems. But we can talk about bows, arrows, as a way of fighting, as a way of hunting.
Yeah.
We can talk about boats that were made in the African continent. Remember, most of the people, in as far as research is concerned, they evolved from here and they started branching out to different places of the world.
Mm.
Well, we can put aside the Homo erectus and the others, but then in as far as Homo sapiens is concerned, they evolved from here, they originated from here, and they evolved, they moved out of of the continent and go to other places. How did they get there? They were innovating boats.
Yeah.
But moving on to what technology is concerned today, which pretty much I'm believing that many people want to hear that.
Yeah.
You said something about Capitec. That is an African thing, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Capitec is an African baby, right? And apart from Capitec, we've got something that is called M-Pesa. It's very big in the continent.
Yeah.
Very, very big in the continent. And that is one of the milestone of innovation in as far as Africa is concerned when it comes to how money is moved around in the continent. This was just a sign to show that there are people in the continent that have invested themselves to building things that will make sense. Today, we talk about young innovators that are currently innovating ways to end hunger. I was in Kenya in 2019. There was a summit there.
Yeah.
There are innovators there that came up with strategies of helping farmers. You know, they farm a lot of cocoa at that side, right?
Yes.
They were struggling to sell that bean that they were harvesting. They would harvest it and fail and struggle to sell it. Now, these innovators, they came up with strategies of how this cocoa can be distributed from one farmer to the next until it reached the right consumers. So that is innovation at its peak in as far as it's concerned today as we speak. It's something that we can pride ourselves out of many other things. There is a guy called Ludric Marishane here in South Africa. Right? I don't know if you've heard about him. He came up with an innovation of bathing without using a lot of water because of the water crisis.
Yes.
Right? He calls it the dry bath.
Yeah.
And that is one of the things that we pride ourselves as Africans. Just one of the things, just a grain in the sand. But the problem is, you know, as you said, why are people not interested in this innovation hub that is supposed to be? How is it? I feel like it's just that kind of system that tends to close our eyes and to looking at what exactly is being innovated in South Africa. Because there is a lot in the continent, not just South Africa. There is a lot. The problem is the problems that we are solving are different from the problems that have been solved from maybe more developed states. They are not solving the same problems as we are. Just like Ludwig, his problem is solving the issue of water shortage, right?
Yeah.
Which is what we are currently having in the continent. We don't have water. So his solution comes to solve the water crisis. And also in places where they cannot distribute water, there is this kind of wheelbarrow, right? That carries a lot of water. It's like a container. You put water inside, you close it, and then you can be able to move it like a wheelbarrow. That is another innovation that came up from the continent because there was an issue with getting to places where they don't have roads and they still need to deliver water into those places, the community people themselves.
Yeah.
Right? They came up with those kind of innovations. So apart from the bows and the arrows that, you know, we're typically known for, and that is some of the things that came to be in the beginning, these are just some of the maybe tip of the iceberg of some of the innovation that are currently taking place at this day and time in the continent. Capitec is also our innovative bank.
Before Capitec people start complaining. Listening to you, it sounds like it's innovations for Africa because they're addressing African problems.
African problems.
Someone would ask, is that a contribution to the world or should we just be focused on dealing with African problems technologically speaking, or when we deal with innovation, should we be just focused on Africa?
Let me put it this way, right? In as far as technology is concerned or anything, there's a saying that says there's nothing new under the sun, right?
Yes, yeah.
That means that my innovation could be influenced by something that is happening in China.
Yeah.
But then when I put it in the context of Africa or where I come from, because you can't just innovate something that your people cannot use, right?
Yeah.
Even though it's going to be on a global scale,
the
global market might not even know you.
Yeah.
So you need to establish yourself as a brand before you branch out to become this big person.
Yeah. Let's
talk about ShopRite, for instance, right?
Yeah.
How it started. It was innovative.
Yeah.
A chain of supermarkets, right?
Yeah.
Convenient at that time. And it grew and branched over to many other countries. And today is the lead, it's the leading supermarket in the continent. Yeah. Right? So even myself, if I am to do something, let me make a good example with podcasts. Yeah. Now they just exploded all of a sudden. Mm. Those things have been there, Tabelo. Mm. They've been there for a long time. Podcasts have been there. Mm. But then all of a sudden, because someone else was doing it and it was working,
yeah,
it sprung out. And then we now have our own podcast that is big in South Africa,
yeah,
that is also branched out to become big in the continent, yeah, in general, right?
Yeah.
And because, and as it is, it's not in the same standard as the other podcasts in the other places.
Yeah.
It has got its own sense, yeah, to have its own people and its own audience. So even innovation as it is, not saying that people should not innovate globally, right? Yeah. But yeah, then in a way, we can innovate something here that can influence innovation in another place.
Mm,
so in a way, it becomes global.
Yeah.
It's a chain, it becomes global.
Yeah.
But then again, we might end at the end of the day say that, no, this thing was invented in China. This thing was invented here and there.
Yeah.
But if we go down deep into it, if it was invented in Africa, it will still be invented in Africa.
Yeah.
It's just that in China, it was invented and it suits the market of China. Because China is big, it will suit the big market of China. Because China maybe is ahead in infrastructure. If it's a phone as it is, it might even be better in China than it is here in South Africa. But it will be suited for the market that we are having here.
But when you look
at it, where did it come from? Where did the ideation come from? I saw it here. The goggles that we are having, and we're not invented by us.
Yeah.
We're just using them for a solution. We have a solution that we want to use it for in our African context,
yeah,
in our South African context, in our own language. Mm. We're making it our own, but it's someone else's invention. It was invented somewhere else, but we're taking it and we are making it do the work or reinventing it to a way that it will suit us.
Yeah. Yeah.
That makes it global,
yeah,
because now it's motivating us in South Africa. It was done in the Northern Hemisphere. It's influencing us in the Southern Hemisphere to do better or to do something. So I think no matter what kind of innovation it is, if it's strong enough, whether it was done for a local context, if it is strong enough and if the people there are buying to it and talking about it, it will go out and become a big brand and it will influence and become a global product.
Mm.
It might even be something that is being developed here and shipped to other countries, or it might spark up innovation and other people in other countries can make something that is similar to it. Basically, I think in a way, I bet I answered that question.
I mean, you mentioned a very important point to say it starts here. I mean, it starts at home before we can think about going out, right? Charity begins at home. Let's solve our own problems first using technology, and then we can branch out into the rest of the world. It does not necessarily mean that we are not global in thinking, but there's no point in going out there and solving the world's problem, but you live in your own house that is in shambles. You're busy, you know, renovating houses out there, but your own house is not in the right state. So that's a fair point.
Tabelo,
right?
I am losing you a bit.
I can hear you. Can you hear me? Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
Yeah. Now, I say that you're making a fair point that, for instance, you can't go out there and fix stuff when your own house is in shambles, right? So it's that thing of charity begins at home. So it's very important
that
for us to solve our own problems first. And then when we are now at a stage where we can compete with the rest of the world, we can then take that out to the rest of the world. It doesn't necessarily mean that we are not global in thinking. We are still global, but we want to solve Africa's problems in an African way and solve, because there's really a lot for us to deal with. As I let you go, I know you're on the road. My last question is, why is Africa then behind the rest of the world in technology? I mean, you hear the fact that there's certain types of technology instruments, there's certain phones, there's certain manufacturing equipment that China is way ahead of Africa with,
yeah,
that we have to go to Africa, to China to bring them to Africa, for instance, and we pay loads and loads of money. Your sense, very quickly, so that we don't keep you too long on the road, what is your sense of why we are behind the rest of the world?
I was trying to avoid this one as much as I can. Because we know the first culprits.
Yeah.
Should I even continue, Tapen?
I wanna get your sense at a broad level, because my thing is that we need to open this discussion, right? Either you agree or you don't agree. You know, we really shouldn't be, thinking of it the same way. You know, there's that old saying that if we all think the same way, one of us is not thinking, right? So to avoid that, we don't need to necessarily agree with that statement. But I want to get your sense, because, like I'm saying, I'm using an example where we are bringing equipment, importing equipment into Africa that we don't have in Africa. We don't have the capability to even produce that. You know, we've got cell phones that we are buying outside of South Africa and bring them in here. Your iPhones, your Samsung, your what. Why are we behind the rest of the world?
And you know, funny enough, we are exporting, we are buying this car that in a very high rate that is actually owned by a Chinese government.
Yeah,
which is a funny thing. But then again, I think the first thing is the issue of outdated policies. You know, the policies that do not support the advancement of technology in places, in a country, in a continent, right? We're still stuck in a system of saying that other people will do it for us and, you know, we will take it from them.
Yeah.
I feel like, you know, it's in that sense that we don't think about it in a sense, but let me just make an example to say that, you know, when you have something, when you have money, or when you have money, or you do not want to innovate anything, you would rather prefer to buy something because you have the money to do it. So I think at some point, maybe during the conception of what Africa is, we are reaching the resources and all those stuff. The people that probably made the policies, I don't know how they did it. I don't know what they were thinking about. Maybe it was working back for them. The issue of natural resources and how rich we have probably maybe messed up their brains, and they didn't think about how we can come up to innovate, how we can come up to dig this gold, how we can expand ourselves and not rely on other people to come and do these things for us. I think it's about the issue of outdated policies that keeps many innovation from coming to be in the continent, in the country per se. Let's talk about even the academics when we talk about the policies as well. Some of the academics are very much outdated to a point that it needs to be revived to the STEM-based kind of academics, that young people can be taught how to do things and how to employ themselves. And that employing themselves advances them, because now they are opening their mind to a greater world of innovation. And when you are more opened up to the greater world of innovation and meeting people, you're able to advance your communities. You're able to go out, come back with innovative ways of doing things. You can come back with the bullet train in South Africa and then we can replace our health train, right?
Yeah.
Or we can have our health train from Cape to Cairo.
Yeah.
You know, something like from Cape to Cairo. Yeah. Or not only from Cape to Cairo, from here, Gauteng, until Cape Town. We can have that train or a bullet train that will move that fast.
Yeah.
But that comes with policies that will allow the advancement of technology or innovation in that said country. Corruption, my brother. That is what I was trying to avoid.
There's a comment here that actually says corruption. So don't run away from it. Here's a comment here, corruption.
Corruption.
Yeah.
You know, I was driving with this other man here. We are listening to the radio.
Yeah.
And in the radio, there is an issue with some chieftaincy back where I come from.
Yeah.
So a headman alternatively wants to become the chief of the place instead of being under the actual chief.
Yes.
The man had an opportunity to innovate, right? But then when innovation comes, the money comes and everything, the innovation is stuck in one designated place, not in the broader society. Where is the other money going to? Not only that, even in a continent as it is, there's so much money that is being, you know, allocated to certain, you know, technology innovation, this and that. But you see that the entire ceremony of handing over something, it becomes a ceremony where the VIP type of based ceremony.
Yeah.
Money is going to the wrong places.
Yeah.
right?
Yeah.
It's going to the stomachs, it's going to the gatekeepers, it's going to the people that are stopping the young people to innovate and to come up with ideas to do things. We should be having multiple hackathon every now and then.
Yeah.
Every department should be having hackathon in the country.
Yeah.
Every country should be having a hackathon.
Yeah.
You know, DRC should be having hackathons. Coding for girls. All those things should be done on an everyday basis. There is money for that. But it doesn't go anywhere. It goes into the corrupt individual. Corruption is one of the things that is destroying this advancement of technology in our continent and us to become, you know, like the prime of or retain that innovation hub that we once used to be, our forefathers used to be.
Yeah.
And we are capable of doing that. Other
Definitely.
Countries are starting to move towards that. Kenya is moving us in a very fast pace with regards to that, right?
Yeah.
And if we do not all, or if all these countries do not open their eyes to these people that are gatekeeping, that are eating the monies, that are blocking innovation, we are going to be begging for a long time. And a new Jan van Riebeek will come, right? Mm. And they will take over.
Definitely.
And our children are going to suffer for that.
Definitely.
Apart from that, corruption. I was trying to beat the corners because I was trying to find ways to say it, you know. You know, the issue of electricity.
It's another one.
Electricity. Should I even continue with that one? Because that's box.
It's a problem.
And, you know, funny enough, Tabelo, you know, I was reading this other article, I think it was 2 months ago. There is a company that has a solar farm. They wanted to feed into the grid of our electricity South Africa supply in the country.
Mm.
And they refused for that to happen. Then I was like, this is another part of outdated policies that is happening right now.
Yeah.
There are a couple of solar farms in the country that are making enough electricity for themselves to even use. They want to share it to the grid. They want to share it to the local communities, but they can't do that because the people around, the people that are running us around here, they don't want us to do those things.
Mm.
That is another way that they're blocking innovation. So if there's someone who was thinking of maybe creating a solar farm for money basis to share like electricity with their community and they make a business out of that, which means it's not going to be possible. I'm going to change my idea and refocus the money that I was going to get from somewhere to something else.
Mm.
Alternatively, the innovativeness in me is destroyed.
Yeah.
So those kind of stuff are some of the things that are delaying us. Not only as I'll just make an example with our country because we can, you know, conquer more, but it's happening everywhere throughout the continent.
Yeah.
And leaders that don't want to step down and give people with fresh mind, fresh innovative mindsets, right? Young people that can lead. That is currently happening in our continent. We have got leaders that are 98, 90, 90 what, that are very old, right?
Yeah.
They don't know anything about technology.
Yeah.
And people that are under them are probably just going to be there to chow the money because alternatively, maybe they won't do anything. We had a 4IR cabinet sort of like here in the country. We don't even know where that is anymore, right? We don't even know what it did.
Sure.
Right?
Yeah.
But then it's just another thing that is stopping innovation and stopping us from getting to where we want to go.
Yeah.
You know,
definitely
stopping us from getting to where we want to go. And if that is not dealt with, we're not going to go anywhere. We're not going to see that innovation hub in the continent.
Mm.
Which we need to be. And there's so many innovators in the country, Tapelo. I meet a lot of them on a day-to-day basis. I was once in a hackathon last year, and I met so many people with great innovation. Some of them look similar to what has been done already, but you go deep into that idea and the concept, you look at the original, you see that this will sell. But it didn't go anywhere because there was no support. You know, competitions will only focus on number one and number two, number three. But the rest of the people with great ideas,
they don't matter.
They're not going to go anywhere, right?
Yeah.
So those are some of the things, you know, corruption, electricity.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Sure. Well, let's hope that, you know, through these type of conversations, we'll move closer to where we should be, move closer to the ideal. You and I also taking responsibility because, the corruption is not going to go anywhere. Our leaders aren't really interested in sorting that one out. But we'll see what we do. But thank you so much, man. Really appreciate your time on the road. Hope you travel. travel safely, and that, you know, as you drive as well, you do achieve what you wanted to achieve. But thanks for your time. Really appreciate it this evening.
No problem, Tapelo. Thank you very much. I thought I was going to make it in time to just be in the office and have a conversation with you guys.
Each job.
Indeed. Let's hope that next time I'll definitely be comfortable seated.
We'd appreciate
as we
that.
Break this one down.
Definitely. Yeah. Thank you so much. Have a good one.
Thank you very much, Tapelo.
Thank you so much. Of course, that was Mr. Justice Mukwebo talking to us this evening about the issue of what are some of the innovations that have come out of Africa. We are taking ourselves literally for granted.
You are tuned into Business Sense on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.